Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This weekend, the Jets will take on the Chargers, but more importantly, I'll be taking on this guy in our fantasy football league, and that is Brian Costello. Brian, you think you're going to beat me this week? Where's your confidence level?
Big showdown, sure. It hasn't been a good season for me, Evan.
No, so. You've been terrible. You've been better than terrible. The Jets, but you've been god-awful, I got to tell you.
Yeah, sorry. I'm hopeful.
You know who I inserted in my starting lineup this week just to shove it down your throat? Did you? I don't know if you noticed because you
probably haven't looked yet.
LaMichael Perron, he's getting opportunity, baby. I'm handing him the football. I'm saying, let's go, buddy.
You're handing him. Well, Gay's handing him the football is the question.
Well, that's the thing I'm not as confident about. You know, this shouldn't surprise you. So I spoke to our old pal Joe B a couple days ago.
Okay.
And I said to him, I said, look, I was miserable watching the Monday night game. I mean, there was nothing fun about it because I've never been one to root against the Jets. Never have. In any of these years of tanking or they're better off losing, it's just a natural instinct to root for your football team. And this year has changed everything, where I found myself on Monday night rooting against the Jets. First time in my life, because what good comes out of winning?
Yeah.
Like, nothing good comes out of it. And I give him credit, Brian. He still wanted to win the game.
Joe won't relent.
He will not relent.
I remember we talked about it a lot in 2017, Evan. Remember that was the year they got rid of all the older players and they were going to supposedly tanking to get Sam or someone else in that draft.
Yes,
we talked about it a lot that year, and I remember Joe saying he would never root for them to lose. It's weird, though. It's like, for me, it's sort of like there's two universes. There's the fans who want them to lose every game and go on 16, and then there's the guys I cover and the players and coaches who obviously they want to win. But sometimes I find myself writing, and it's like, you know, I usually write through a Jets lens.
Right,
you know, that's my audience. It's Jets lens. But like, it's kind of like, you're like, well, this is good for the Jets, but Jets fans right now don't want to hear anything good for the Jets. They want them to lose.
Well, I got to take you back to 2017 because I always think that really, really is fascinating because in 2017, we all thought the Jets were tanking.
Yeah.
I didn't think. I mean, we'd be rewriting history if we claimed that we thought they were tanking this year. I mean, I remember before the season, I predicted 6 wins. I think you were in that range, 5, 6 wins.
Yeah, I said 7. Yeah,
you said 7. Even better.
Yeah.
So we didn't see something like this coming, but in 2017, even in a tanking year, they were 3-2. They were 4-5 after that Thursday night win against the Buffalo Bills, the dancing game. They were 5-7. Like, to me, it was never a decision to root against my team in a year in which, sure, Josh McCown's the quarterback, sure, you're probably not going to win anything, but you're in it. I mean, you're 3-2, you're 4-5, you're 5-7. Like, how could you possibly root against that? This is a completely different animal because it is legitimately hopeless. Like, you beat the Chargers on Sunday. What the hell does that do?
Right, yeah. No, I agree with you. I mean, if Josh McCown doesn't get hurt against Denver that year, you know, I don't think you're going to the playoffs, but you might have a reasonable, you know, 8-8 might be reasonable that year or something like that. Yeah, no, I think we've moved past that. I don't know when this season. Probably felt like the loss in Miami kind of was the last gasp for fans to me. Like that there was outrage that day, and since then there hasn't really been much outrage. It's mostly been accepting and. I think everyone thinks Gase is going to be gone at the end of the season, and so they're not getting worked up about that. And yeah, now the focus is on, you know, can they get that number one pick? Can they get Trevor Lawrence in here? And I was reading something this morning about strength of schedule, and the Jaguars have a really tough strength, tough schedule the rest of the way.
Yes.
So you figure they're going to have one win. And, you know, the strength of schedule right now, the Jets have a stronger strength of schedule than the Jaguars. The Jaguars would be the number one pick, but that could flip with the way the Jaguars schedule was the last 2 weeks. I mean, that's a very hard thing to figure out this far out, but it's something that everyone's going to be paying attention to.
I'll give a plug, because this is where our season is. There's a website, Jets X Factor. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And Jets X Factor did a great job of crunching the numbers on who you should root for if you're a Jet fan.
The rest of the way.
To flip that, because it's a great point, strength of schedule.
Yeah.
Right now, the Jets have a flat out lead. They lose every game, they have the worst record. It's odd. I mean, that goes without saying.
Yeah.
But if they win a game and Jacksonville doesn't win another game, in this moment, the Jaguars would get the number one pick because of strength of schedule. But as you pointed out, that could change. And I'll tweet out the link for people to follow along, but I got to give them a lot of credit, because if you think I could figure that out, there's no shot.
Yeah.
But the Jets X Factor people did, so good job out of them.
That's good. That's a lot of math. That's good.
Tons of math. Now, I want to comment on something you said at the start, and that is, will Piron get touches? Here's my biggest problem. The thing I'm looking for as a Jet fan, I think most Jet fans are looking for, are contributions from guys that can be on this team next year. You know,
yeah.
Joe Flacco having a big passing game does nothing for me. Frank Gore going for 90 yards on the ground does nothing for me. Do you sense that there's going to be a philosophical change where LaMichael Piron will get the bulk of the carries? Because it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, here's the thing, I think, what they want to do. I think they like Gore early in the game. I think they feel like he kind of establishes something with the offensive line, the way he runs. There's a toughness to his running. You know what I mean? Piron's a little more... he's not flashy, is not the right word, but a little more finesse to his game than Gore. They like doing that early in the game. I think the plan has been do that with Gore early and then go to Piron in the second half and ride him in the second half. Here's the problem. They don't ever have the ball in the second half. It's like last week, they had an 11-play drive in the third quarter, and then they go 4 plays in the fourth quarter. So there was really no chances for Piron. I think he would have had more carries had they gotten the ball back more. And the same thing, you know, against the Bills and the Chiefs, they really didn't have much of an offense in the second half, and the Chiefs game, they were down 7. So I do think they want to go that route, Evan. I don't think you're ever going to get, like, Piron from start to finish. I just don't think they're going to do that. I don't necessarily disagree with that. But I think you'll see Gore early, and then if they could ever put together 4 quarters of offense, I think you would see a lot more Piron late, and he'd probably end up with more carries. He has had more snaps in a few games. But it's just not translating right now because of how poor the offense has been in the second half.
All right, this secondary going into this game, all right, the quarter specifically, Bryce Hall, who is a fifth-round pick from this year, Corey Ballantyne, who stunk on the Giants, Lamar Jackson, no, not him, the corner. Are those the guys that are basically going to be the corners tomorrow?
I think Wes Austin is going to play.
He was able to
practice yesterday on a limited basis. Now, when we talked to Gase, it was before practice, so... But he was listed as questionable on the injury report. I think it would have been worse if he hadn't come through that practice well. So I think he'll play. Yeah, I think Bryce Hall is the guy on the other side. They cut Pierre Desir, who I think is sort of along the lines of what you're speaking about with seeing younger players. Desir was a progress blocker there because Hall wasn't getting on the field. It was as Desir, and Desir wasn't playing well. So they decided to just move on from him, let Hall play. I'm not sure if you'll see Ballantyne on defense. I think he's more special teams right now with them. That being said, they don't have a lot of guys, so maybe he gets out there. But yeah, and then Ashton Davis, Joe's favorite player at safety. So you've got basically two rookies in the secondary, and Bless Austin, who is about a calendar year into his NFL career, and then Marcus May. So this could be rough because the Chargers' offense is good.
They're
number four offense in the NFL. Obviously, anyone who plays fantasy knows Keenan Allen, and they know Mike Williams and Hunter Henry. They know what this offense can do, and obviously Justin Herbert has had a really amazing rookie year. So this could be a rough one for the Jets secondary.
Now, you mentioned a couple of these draft picks, because this draft may not be all that terrible, let's be honest. I mean, Mekhi Becton, when he's out there, looks tremendous.
Yeah.
Denzel Mims has actually looked pretty good since he's been out there. We'll see about Ashton Davis. The pass rusher's actually been on the field, Zuniga. He's actually been out there, which is nice.
He's out there
see.
A little bit, yeah. He hasn't done anything yet, but yeah. He's playing.
Braden Mann, one of the great punters you'll ever see. And we mentioned Bryce Hall is going to get a chance. But here's the guy I want to pick on, because you know, as ticked off as Beningo was about the Ashton Davis pick, I wasn't. It was like, all right, you know, we'll see.
Yeah.
The pick that ticked me off was James Morgan, the quarterback.
Yeah.
It made no sense. I mean, it made no sense to use a fourth round pick on a quarterback. He still isn't the backup. Like, even with Sam Hurt, James Morgan can't even dress and be the backup. What the hell is going on with James Morgan?
I think they decided this is a redshirt year for him. I think they just decided to sit him and let him watch. I mean, he didn't have any preseason games, so he didn't even have a chance to really get his feet wet there like he'd like to with a rookie quarterback. You know, and what he's doing now, what he's been doing since, you know, August, basically, he's a scouting quarterback. You know, he's doing the other team's offense, so he's not even getting really reps in the Jets' offense. So it would have to be like a 4-week effort, something like that, probably, to get him up to speed to where you would actually think about playing him in a game. Whereas Mike White, I know he's not going to excite you, but Mike White got a lot more reps in the preseason. He was on the practice squad last year. He just knows the offense a little bit more. So I just think, I know I've heard this from a few fans that they're looking for, why can't they play James Morgan? I just don't think he's ready, Evan. And you might be right on that pick at the end of the day. You know, we'll see if this guy develops into a solid backup or, you know, actually a starter at some point. But right now you're not going to see him.
I'm very, very, very confident I'm going to be right about that pick. I'm very confident. Because you know why? My bar is very different. If he became a backup, that still wouldn't satisfy it. Because when you have as many holes as you have when you're the New York Jets, I just don't think you're in a position to use a fourth-round pick on a backup quarterback. A backup quarterback that's a project. Like, that's not
–
you're not in a position to do something like that. That's my issue.
Yeah, I understand that thought. I think a lot of teams think they should always have one quarterback they're developing on the roster along with a starter and usually a veteran. But no, I understand what you're saying about the holes. You know, they definitely don't have the luxury of making, you know, picks that don't fill needs right now.
All right, now let me ask you about the other quarterback, Sam Darnold. All right, Adam Gase opened the door up. He may play next week. Carton brought this up to me. I think he's nuts, but you know, like 60% of what he says, I think he's nuts. So it's okay.
Right.
And that is, you know, Sam not playing protects his trade value. Now, I think that's nuts because the more he doesn't play, the more it hurts his trade value that the guy can't stay on the football field. So right now in this moment, what is Sam Darnold's trade value and what's its potential? Like, if he starts playing next week and does play well, what could it turn into?
So I think right now his trade potential is the Josh Rosen trade, and that was a second and a fifth Arizona got from Miami, right? Because I think I think people believe Sam has a higher upside than Rosen, I do think that he hasn't played a good game in a long time. You know, there hasn't been a lot of good film on Sam. So to Carton's point, I think he may be right if it doesn't go well when Sam is playing, and like the way he's been playing this season has not helped his trade value. You know, we all know everything around him and all the factors against him, but he also just hasn't had a good game. He hasn't had one game where you're like, okay, where we've seen that before, where you're like, you know, against Dallas last year or a couple years against Green Bay. So, you know, if he comes back and plays poorly, yeah, it hurts his trade value. If he comes back and plays well, then to your point, it would help his trade value. So I think, you know, I don't think the Jets are thinking like that. I think they want him to play. I think he'll be out there as soon as he can play. But I don't totally disagree with what Carton's saying.
Well,
because I just think the way he's played this year, as you know, the trade value is going down with every week.
Totally get that. And I agree, his value's gone down. Not going to disagree. But I think that there is value to actually being healthy enough to play. And I know Mono had to do with it last year, but still, every year of his NFL career, he's missed time. And if he doesn't play another game this year, think about the amount of time he would have missed in 2020. So whether you're playing badly or not, that's a major, major concern. If I'm another team, I'm basically trading for a guy that can't stay on the field.
Yeah, I don't know if he's going to change people's views by playing 5 games at the end of the season. I think that's an issue. I think him missing time. The mono, I think you write off, but the foot injury, his first year, and then this year's shoulder, we saw it in this town. Eli Manning was, you know, the second longest streak in NFL history, right, for quarterback.
Right.
So there's a lot of value in being durable and being available, and Sam has not shown that. I'm not sure if he can change that completely by playing the last games. And I also think if they shut him down, Evan, I do think it would get out that, like, okay, they're shutting him down. He could have played, right, but they're shutting him down to protect the trade value. I think teams would know that around the NFL.
We're talking to Brian Costello. So earlier this season, when the Jets were getting blown out every single week, I mean, they still effectively are, but the Patriot game was close. The Bill game was somewhat close. So, okay, fine. But every week was, when are they going to fire Gase? When are they going to fire right. Gase? When are they going to fire Gase? And usually the default feeling was, we'll get to the bye week. You know, at the bye week, if they don't have a win, they'll fire Adam Gase. Well, very quietly, the Jets had their bye week, and it was barely talked about. I mean, nobody's bringing up, are you going to fire Adam Gase? So here we are. They haven't won a game yet this season. They've got seven games left, whatever the heck it is. So he's going to make the season. Is that fair to say? Like, he is going to complete this regular season.
I think the only thing that could change that, Evan, is if they decide that there's a college coach that they really want to target, because you can make a move on a college coach before the end of the season. And, I mean, I'm not really familiar right now with the college calendar. It's been so screwy this year with COVID. But if, like, the college season wraps up, you know, in mid-December, and the Jets decide they want to make a move on, you know, pick your college coach, Matt Campbell from Iowa State or whoever, they could make a move. And I don't think they're going to do that and have Adam Gase employed. I don't think they would, like, go behind his back and do that. I think they'd fire him if they wanted to do that. But that's it's crazy to me. It was quiet, you're right, the bye week. But I think people just kind of accepted it now that it's not changing. And that's the only way I see it changing before the season.
Ernie and I argue about this. The more Jim Harbaugh lose, it doesn't hurt his value in my mind, because I don't give a damn. He's a college coach. Yep. Not having success at Michigan doesn't change my view. I'm always going to remember his success with San Francisco. Do you get a vibe that they are interested or will be interested in Coach Jim Harbaugh?
Yeah, I wrote about this week. I think they should be. I have not gotten a vibe whether they will be. And the kind of the wild card in it is the Joe Douglas. Does Joe Douglas know him at all? You know, he was in Baltimore with his brother. Did they ever spend any time together in Baltimore? The sense I got from people in Baltimore is Jim is not around the Ravens very much because he's coaching his own team. So I don't know, but I think they should explore it. You know, I agree with you. If he didn't recruit well at Michigan, that's a college football issue. You know, and he also won 10 games three times in Michigan. This year they're terrible, but it kind of gets slanted because he hasn't beaten Ohio State and he hasn't lived up to those expectations of national championships, but he hasn't been, you know, terrible at Michigan. So, you know, I know this, Evan. The people at Michigan are hoping the Jets come and take him because they don't want to fire him. They don't want to. He's a legend at that school, and his father coached there. Like, that's, you know, remember when the Yankees talked about hiring Don Mattingly? It's like, you're going to have to fire Don Mattingly at some point, and that's not going to be good. So they would love it if the NFL, if the Jets came and hired Jim Harbaugh, and then both sides could say, well, you know, just didn't work out, he's going to go back to the NFL.
By the way, I know that like a million college football games have been canceled, including Trevor Lawrence's game, Clemson, Florida State. Michigan Rutgers tonight is sneaky appealing. Like, that is a very, very appealing game between two, you know, not great schools right now. But
right
now, Rutgers trying to prove legitimacy and Michigan trying to prove they are horrific. So keep an eye on that. What's your final score for tomorrow's game, by the way, real quick?
33-14, I think the Chargers will win. I think they're gonna throw all over the secondary. You know, I just watching the Patriots, like the Jets are just, they're scared to cover anyone. They're playing soft zone, and I think Herbert, even though he's a young guy, he's gonna carve them up.
So a buddy of mine, my former roommate, I think the only person I've ever had as a roommate, if memory serves correct, he's from San Diego, he's a big Charger fan, has remained a Charger fan despite the move to L.A. He forwarded me an email he got from the Chargers, and he took it as the Chargers are preparing their fan base that they're going to lose to the Jets.
Because
the story is, Chargers are set to face fourth Super Bowl MVP quarterback. And that's the headline. Joe Flacco will be the fourth Super Bowl MVP quarterback the Chargers have played against this season, joining Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, and Drew Brees.
Wow.
It cracked him up, and it cracked me up, yes.
One of these things is not like the other, right?
No, I know. Brian, good talking to you, man.
All right, good to hear from you, Evan.
Brian Costello on the Jets. We'll talk fantasy in the 12 o'clock hour. We'll get back to your phone calls. And a comparison that I think will relax anyone interested in Nolan Arenado concerned about his home road splits.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.